Lord Christ.
Jesus went out and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what is sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Of all the times that I had with my children as they were growing up, and I had lots of children and lots of time, I think that the most precious of all was bedtime. At bedtime, these kids who are moving and talking nonstop from the time the sun comes up or before the sun comes up, depending on the day, finally they're horizontal and at rest and often quiet. At bedtime, finally they're able and willing to listen. And I am absolutely sure that's why bedtime is when parents tell their kids stories. There are some parents who are infinitely creative and make up original stories. Carol used to tell her kids stories that he called boring stories, that they didn't find boring at all. And other parents, like me, go with the classics, those old fairy tales that can be adapted and retold in a million different ways, depending on the circumstances. But generally speaking, parents for generation upon generation have found these bedtime story times, whether they're old stories or new stories, as some of the very best teaching moments. There are stories that can bring comfort and reassurance to children who are insecure or fearful, and there are stories that teach children to love those things that really nourish their hearts, truth and kindness and courage and unselfishness and patience and perseverance and compassion. And one of the main ways that storytelling actually teaches, whether it's children or grown-ups, is by finding ourselves in the story. This child is the brave princess in the story who was kind to the poor, dirty beggar, only to find out it was a powerful, good fairy in disguise. Or this child is the patient tortoise that everybody was laughing at because he was so slow, who won the race just by putting one foot in front of the other and doing his best. Or maybe this child is the foolish bunny who took his abilities for granted and got lazy and lost the race. The stories of our childhood are gentle and very effective teachers that become a permanent way of the part of the way our minds work and our hearts function as we grow up. And that is why Jesus so often used story to teach us, because if people are just willing to quiet their minds and their hearts and to listen, they can find themselves in the story. And finding themselves in the story, they find their minds and their hearts nourished and transformed. And today, we're invited to find ourselves in Jesus' story of the sower. And we play the illustrious role of dirt. The story begins with a farmer who goes out into the field with a bag of seeds slung over his shoulder like you've seen in the paintings. And he walks along broadcasting the seed as he goes. And some of the seed ends up in the bellies of hungry crows and seagulls. And some of the seed sprouts quickly and shrivels up in the first hot day of summer. And some of the seed comes up in the middle of a weed patch and the brambles just choke the life out of the seedlings. And some of the seeds put down roots and send up strong shoots that grow and blossom and set fruit and bear an impressive harvest. 30 or 60 or 100 times as many seeds as the farmer planted in the first place. But we are not the farmer in this story, and we are not the seeds diligently trying to make something of ourselves. We, it turns out, are the dirt. It's a humble part that we play, you might think. Not very important, you think. But that's not really true, because the kind of dirt that we are makes all the difference in what happens to the seeds. The seeds, Jesus told his disciples, the seeds are the word that God sows in our hearts. And by word, he doesn't just mean Bible verses. The word is that whole creative voice of God that started with that first "let there be" that turned the lights on in our universe, all the way to the perfect word that is Jesus himself. Everything that God has given to us so that we can know him, the Bible, and also that natural word of trees and mountains and birds and dogs and our fellow human beings, the people sitting in the pew next to you today, your next door neighbor, and most importantly, Jesus himself, who was born right into our world to be God in the flesh. God has planted a lot of seeds. And this story that we just read of the sower tells us that we bear responsibility for what happens to the seeds when they plop into the soil of our hearts. Because the truth about seeds is that every seed contains life. Every seed has the power to grow and to flourish and to reproduce. But not every seed makes it. In the story, the first problem that the seed encounters is that it falls on the path and gets gobbled up by hungry birds. That seed, Jesus told his disciples, is the word that people hear but don't understand. Like seed that falls on that hard, packed soil of a path. When the word falls where there's no understanding, it's soon snatched away as if it had never been sown. Notice that Jesus is explaining the meaning of this parable to his disciples because they don't understand it. Without his explanation, this story could have been soon forgotten. Jesus was doing a little cultivation. He was making sure that they heard this word, to make sure it didn't just get snatched away. So the first message of this story is that dirt does not cultivate itself. Our first responsibility of being good dirt, we might say, is humility, knowing that we're not self-sufficient. We'll never do very well trying to know God on our own power. We need the Holy Spirit to soften us up, to stir our hearts, to shine a little light into things. And otherwise, no matter how smart we are, no matter how studious we are, we don't have very much hope. We don't have any hope, really, that the word is going to really put down roots and make any kind of a decent crop. And what that looks like in real life, out of the world of metaphor and story, is that we remember to let the Holy Spirit do her work. We remind ourselves when we're out in the world that we are not alone. We listen for the voice of God, who is our teacher. Something came to mind when I was thinking about this, and it was Helen's husband, Michael. One day he'd gone for a long walk, as he likes to do, and he showed me a picture of a tree that he came upon when he was on a walk. that had grown in an amazing configuration, and the growth of that tree and the way that it was bent spoke to him personally about his own life. And I believe that God's word to Michael in that tree put down roots and grew because he was remembering to listen. He was giving the Holy Spirit a chance to dig in. And God is doing that all the time with every single one of us in all of his works if only we remember to listen. If only we remember to be still and stop moving and stop talking. And not just keep trampling the soil of our hearts hard in all our rush and bother. It doesn't always come naturally. And then there is the literal word that God has given us. Sometimes that seed really seems to have a hard time digging in. But it's not because we need to be better and smarter all on our own. God did not speak to us in such a way that we need to be scholars with 180 IQs if we really want to understand what he's saying. We don't need to know New Testament Greek. The Bible is not some kind of a secret code that we can only break if we're very, very clever. When the 72 disciples came back from their very first mission trip, what Jesus said in his prayer was, "I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, that was your gracious will." The word can speak to our hearts no matter how simple we are. In fact, we hear best, the very best, when we are the most like children. But we do need to have the soil of our hearts prepared if we want that word to sink in and start growing. So no matter who we are, we need to ask for a little help before we read the Bible, while we read the Bible, after we read. And then we can be sure that our reading is going to be fruitful, because there is nothing the Holy Spirit likes better than a little heart gardening. Then there's a second kind of dirt in the soil. It's hard too, but it's hard because it is full of rocks. I don't know if you've ever tried to garden in rocky soil, but there is not much more that is disheartening than the sound of your shovel hitting a big rock. Carol can vouch for this. It happens a lot in our garden. The rocky dirt is that person who hears the word with joy, but there's just no place for the seed to put down roots. Starts to grow maybe, but as soon as there's any difficulty or persecution, it just falls away. There are times when we are only listening on the surface. We're wearing our faith like a pretty dress or a nice suit, but underneath, in our heart of hearts, we are full up of anger, or resentment, or prejudices, or bitterness, or unforgiveness. And then we are just exactly like that rocky dirt that makes that terrible, disgusting clang of immovability when the shovel goes in. And those roots, if any roots grow at all, are just going nowhere. And as soon as the sun gets hot, as soon as our faith encounters any kind of opposition, it's dead. So we have to pick out some stones sometimes. The third kind of dirt has a little more depth, but there is a lot growing there already, too much growing there. The seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke it out. This kind of dirt is when we love God and we really believe what the Bible says, but we also really need our 401k and our good insurance and our comfortable life, our cars and our big houses and our vacations and our fashionable clothes. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, except that we all know, most of us are old enough to have learned, that the more stuff we own, the likelier we are to end up being owned by all that stuff. It is so easy for us, especially us Americans, who live with more stuff than anybody else on this planet, even those of us who are not wealthy Americans. It is so easy for us to let our lives be completely consumed by the care and feeding of the things that we call our blessings. We're even thankful for them, but they're killing us. Most of us could use to do quite a bit of weeding. and I definitely include myself in that category. We've all heard that story of the rich young man who met Jesus, and he was a really good young man. He kept all of God's commands rigorously, and Jesus told him, you only need to fix one thing in your life, which is pretty impressive, because most of us would need to fix more than one thing in their lives. But Jesus said, just one thing, go and sell all your stuff and follow me. He couldn't do it, and he went away sad. And preachers are very often careful to point out when they preach on that story that Jesus was not saying that we all need to sell everything in order to follow him. It was not a general command to everybody everywhere. And that's clearly true. I think it is a very telling point that we feel like we need to say that. That story makes us uncomfortable. We don't like to think, even possibly, that Jesus might ask us to get rid of all that stuff. And that, it seems to me, is a sign that we need to do some weeding. But of course, the thing that we like best when we're little kids and our parents tell us stories is we like to be the good guy. When we hear stories, kids or grown-ups, we want to identify with the one who does what is right, the one who's good, the hero of the story. And in this story about the sower and the seeds and the dirt, that means we want to be the really good dirt. The dirt that is rich and deep and soft and fertile. We want to be the one who hears with good understanding. We want to be the one whose heart is not hardened by our anger or our hatred. We want to be the one whose affections are not strangled and choked out by our desires for things and our worries about getting them or losing them. When Jesus told this story, he was planting in us that desire, that longing to be good, soft, rich dirt. And if we seek to be that good dirt, letting Holy Spirit guide and cultivate us along the way, then this story will surely bear fruit in our lives 30 or 60 or 100 times the effort that we put into it. We can be sure of that because God is a very good dirt.